WBEZ's Nonprofit Spotlight is supported by UChicago Medicine, providing expert primary and urgent care with locations throughout Chicagoland. Their walk-in urgent care locations offer a variety of services for adults and kids 7 days a week. No appointment needed. And for the visits that can wait a day or two, flexible hours and online scheduling make it possible to find a primary care provider partner. Learn more at uchicagomedicine.org. This WBEZ podcast is supported by the Crown Family School of Social Work, Policy, and Practice at the University of Chicago. The master's program in social work offers a one-year advanced standing option for students with a bachelor's degree in social work that builds on prior training and connects students with expert faculty and 5 specialized pathways. Apply by February 1st at crownschool.uchicago.edu/socialwork. Inspire change. Shape the future.
Love it or hate it, the cicadas are here. I'm Sasha Ann Simons, and this is Reset. Beyond seeing hundreds of swarming bugs and carcasses, we wanted to dig into the environmental impacts of this cicada phenomenon. Here to give us more insight is Karen Weigert, Reset's sustainability contributor and the director of Loyola University Chicago's Baumhart Center for Social Enterprise and Responsibility. Also with us, Zoe Getman-Pickering, who co-authored a paper on this topic. And Karen kicks things off.
It really depends on where you are, if you've seen them already, but they are going to come out of the ground where they've been napping for over a decade. And they're going to be little white critters about an inch long, and then you're going to see them very quickly climb up trees, molt, develop wings, and then not too long after that, you're going to hear them.
Have you seen them yet?
I have not.
I haven't either.
No, I've been looking, actually.
I'd like for it to stay there.
Don't go to the suburbs.
Zoe, you looked into how these periodical cicada events affect the food webs in forest. First, define food web for us. What do you mean exactly?
So the food web is this complex network of all the animals that are eating each other and interacting with each other within a forest, within an ecosystem.
And why did you want to do this research?
So we were really curious what would happen when billions of cicadas emerged and just inundated these forests with delicious food, these cicadas. Mm-hmm. And we were curious what it would tell us about how the ecosystem functions and who the different players were that were interacting.
Karen, what is it that interests you about this research?
Well, you get this moment where suddenly there's, I would think, all these bugs, but if I were a bird, maybe I'm thinking there's all this food. So what are the implications when suddenly the birds are eating these things mm-hmm. and not what they normally do? And what happens to the caterpillars and the other things? And how does that teach us about what the world might look like with different levels of birds?
Sounds like a question for Zoe. Yeah, birds start eating the cicadas and not eating caterpillars. So, I mean, talk about the effect here on caterpillar populations.
Yeah, we were actually surprised at how many birds changed their diet. So a normal family of chickadees, for instance, might eat 10,000 caterpillars in a spring. But with the cicadas wow. available, they had this just incredible all-you-can-eat buffet, and they didn't need to eat all of these caterpillars. And so we saw the caterpillar population spike, and just we saw twice as many caterpillars as we would see in normal years. And it wasn't just any caterpillars, but in particular, the big, obvious, juicy, delicious-looking caterpillars were having a really fantastic spring.
So what effect did this have, right? More caterpillars, as you point out. They weren't being eaten by birds, so here they are. What about the oak trees, though?
Yeah, so when the caterpillar populations doubled, we saw, as you might guess, that the oak trees that the caterpillars live on also received a lot more damage from these caterpillars that were chewing on the leaves.
Should we be concerned?
You know, I think it's possible that these oak trees would have a few less acorns in that year and maybe the next year, but I wouldn't be too concerned overall. Our trees are incredibly resilient to dealing with these caterpillars that they have been battling for millennia.
So, I mean, you've been researching the long-term effects of this loss, Zoe. Are you saying it's likely trees will bounce back quickly?
Yeah, so the effects of the cicadas on the trees is also direct. It's not just through this complicated web with the birds and the caterpillars, but the cicadas themselves will also damage the trees when they lay their eggs. And back in 2021, when Brood 10 emerged, we saw pretty dramatic flagging where branches of the trees would go brown and droop. But so we were really worried about these trees, and we were monitoring 16 of the most common species. And we were actually surprised to find that 2 years later, this summer, these trees that had received the most damage and had flagged the most were actually doing just as well as those that didn't receive damage.
Okay, so I'm glad you're clarifying that, because we've heard warnings even here on this program from tree experts to protect young trees from cicadas. You're saying that you found the concern is mostly an aesthetic one.
Yeah, so it's definitely concerning when you look out and you see your whole beautiful tree has patches of brown all over it. But in our research, it looks more like the effect is similar to pruning, where over the years it's benefiting the tree and helping them grow in a more healthy way.
Mm. Any of this surprise you, Karen?
Well, it's really interesting to try to figure out which trees and what do you do. And as a resident of Chicago, if you look out and suddenly there are these very large insects and they're eating, you try to figure it out. And I have seen lots of mesh around trees. I've heard a lot about it being more of a challenge just for very, very young trees. So I'm curious if that's really what we should think about.
Zoe?
So in the research, we had trees, you know, about as high as my knee and some that were way, way above my head. So, and even the smallest trees were surviving and thriving after the emergence. But I do understand that some people are concerned for their trees and may have very deep attachment to their trees. And I wouldn't blame them for wanting to keep them protected. But I would want to ask people to balance that with making sure that they're not putting out netting that's going to harm birds, for instance, or to stop the birds from eating the caterpillars and other insects, to stop them from nesting, or putting out pesticides that might damage other organisms.
So to be clear, Zoe, is it fair to say that human interventions like pesticides, they have more of an impact on the ecosystem and the trees than the cicadas do?
You know, it's hard to get the exact comparison, but I would not be putting out netting myself, but I can completely understand if some people need to or feel that they need to. But I do hope that they will think about the birds, think about the bees and the other organisms that they might be affecting. I think this research with cicadas shows how deeply interconnected all of these species actually are.
If you're just tuning in, this is Reset. I'm Sasha Ann Simons, and we are digging into how cicadas affect the ecosystem. Our guest is Zoe Getman-Pickering, who's an ecologist and lead author of the study titled Periodical Cicadas Disrupt Trophic Dynamics Through Community-Level Shifts in Avian Foraging. Our other guest in studio with me is Karen Weigert, Reset's sustainability contributor. Karen, you had some other questions for Zoe.
I did. And actually, Zoe, I'd love to ask you, these cicadas don't come out very often. So how do you study them and how do you set this up so that you learn when they are here?
Good one.
Great question. I think that you really put your thumb on the reason that there aren't that many cicada researchers. Each of these broods comes out once every 17 or once every 13 years. And so if you want to study cicadas, you kind of have to be either running across the country looking at different broods, or you have to be very, very patient. And part of our team actually was in DC for the emergence of Brood 10 back in 2004 and made some plans then and we're finally able to realize now.
Karen, cicadas can also benefit soil. How?
So the cicadas start out underground. In fact, they spend 99% of their lives underground. And then when they come up, they make these little holes. So it really provides some aeration, brings some oxygen into the soil. It makes it easier for water to go down into the soil. So when they're alive, they have that interesting benefit. And then interestingly, when they die, they fertilize the soil and they bring nutrients, particularly nitrogen, back. So they actually have a couple different ways that they're helping the soil be healthier when they come out and then when they go back.
Zoe, what are the ripple effects of these changes to the ecosystem?
Yeah, so the quality of the soil can impact the trees that grow, which trees thrive, which plants survive. And so the presence of the cicadas can actually change the communities of plants that grow after an emergence. And as those plants are growing, they're supporting different insects and different birds and different animals. So you can have these really incredible long-lasting ripple effects, both from the changes that the cicadas bring to the bird populations and also to the changes they make in the soil.
So what are you paying attention to, Zoe, in particular, with this particular emergence?
We're really curious about the bird behavior. In our first study, we looked and found over 80 different bird species that were eating cicadas, and we want to expand on that and understand a little bit better how the birds are changing their behavior, how quickly they might learn. And we're also curious about some of the other species that are impacted, like the ants. Many people don't realize, but ants are really important in our ecosystems, where they break down dead and decaying matter and they move seeds all around.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're curious how this bonanza of delicious food is going to affect their behavior and their populations as well.
You know, and I'm guilty of this, Karen. I can put myself in that group of people who think these things are just a nuisance. But there's so much more, and I'm so glad we're doing this deeper dive on the environmental end of things. But why do you think they've gained such a bad name for themselves? Well, is it the noise?
I'm thinking it's the noise, which is certainly, first of all, it's the guys who are singing. They're just trying to meet some ladies.
They're trying to mate.
Yeah. And I think it's also the case that they're really large. And quite honestly, they're just largely defenseless, which also means they fly around and they're near you. And so you have a very big bug. It's a very noisy bug. And suddenly it's everywhere. So it seems it's unfamiliar and it appears. And then you have challenges like I was talking to a friend of mine this morning about the cicadas, and her dog's been snacking on them, and she's not very excited about that.
Is that okay, Zoe, for dogs to snack on them?
I think it's okay for the dogs to eat a few, but I would not let your dog kind of eat, stuff themselves silly. They can run the risk of having a stopping up effect, if you understand.
Yes, I know. I'm picking up what you're putting down. let's put it that way. But I mean, on your end as a researcher, Zoe, I mean, how do you feel about getting out the word? Because I feel like you've got to do extra work to get out the word about the importance of cicadas, the important player that they are in the forest ecosystem.
So obviously, I deeply love cicadas. They're one of my great passions, but it's not just the role that they play in the forest that's so exciting. Honestly, I hope that everyone who is in the emergence area will have a little time to look at them and observe them and see how incredibly cool they are. One of the things that I just love is how awkward they can be. It's
what do you
really
mean?
Funny. So they're... Some of them will struggle to climb up trees. Some of them will actually fly into each other. They'll fly into trees. Their eyesight isn't particularly amazing, so they're falling off and flying into things. And you know, I think many of us can relate to that.
Yeah. Well, so as part of your research, Zoe, you crowdsourced information from birders, as you said, and you're doing the same thing now. Is that right?
Yes, we would love to hear from anyone who is watching birds and watching cicadas. If you see a bird that you can identify eating a cicada, we would love to hear about it on friendtocicadas.org.
Last word to you, Karen.
They are amazing. I think awkward is a great description. They don't bite.
No, that was funny.
Yeah, definitely. They're not going to bite you.
A good word, Zoe.
Exactly. But it's like science at your doorstep.
It's science at your doorstep. I love it. That is Reset sustainability contributor Karen Weigert and Zoe Getman-Pickering, who's an ecologist who works in the energy transition at UMass Amherst. Thank you both so much.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much for having me.
This episode of the Reset podcast was produced and mixed by Linnea Dominic. It was edited by Maha Ahmed. To stay up to date with the stories and news in Chicago, we'll make sure to subscribe to our podcast and head over to wbez.org/reset for a full archive of our interviews. I'm Sasha Ann Simons. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
My name is Donald. I live on the southeast side of Chicago. I support WBEZ because of the balanced reporting and covering so much about an issue as opposed to just the few seconds that you may hear on most other news outlets. It matters to me to hear the story more completely.